Lady.
Blessed assurance, be thus denied. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Dear old salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. My Savior, all the day long. Perfect submission. I like this. All is at rest. I am my Savior. I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in love. This is my story. Oh, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you. You know, when you live like God will have you to live, he leads his children along. There's going to be another jubilee in the Piedmont section down in Greenville, South Carolina. Brother John Everhart is going to have the jubilee at Wren Memorial, and Brother Andy and his people will be there. Brother Ed Below. And we're looking forward to do some shouting down there with y'all. Amen. Come on, let's have a good time. God leads his dear children along. God saved me the second Sunday night in August 1927, 54 years ago, last August. Amen. I'm planning on hanging in there. Amen. Amen. The 31st of this month, if the Lord, if he doesn't bother me, I'll be 67 years old. Amen. I'd like to see that birthday. In the shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flows, thither the way once he, God leads ye dear children along. Some through the water, some to the fire, yes, yes. But all to the blood, some to great sorrows, but God gives a song. For in the night season, and all the day long. Sometimes on the mountain where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, some through rich sorrow, but God gives a song. Oh, in the night season, and all the day long, come to the water, and all the day long. We have a special group that's going to help us to sing Bring It Out of the Shout. We're Brother Man and Sister Doris. Little Ralph. Amen. And you sing, Ring It Out with a Shout. Sister Jane. Yes, sir. Huh? I like that. Ring it out with a shout. Sister Maine coming, bless her heart. I like that. And Brother Roy, isn't that good? Where's Brother John Payton? Brother John, you want to help him? Where's Brother John? Come on, Brother John. Bless his heart.
Turn it on now,
let's make the devil nervous. Tell the story grand and true of the Lord who died for you. Ring it out,
ring it out.
Sing our flower. I can't stand much of this. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Oh, thank you. my. Some glad morning when the stripes go fly away one these days.
That's right, well,
I appreciate you. Bless your heart.
Jane Keel asked me if I would try this one for her.
All right. I'm going to
it's
sing one.
Sister Keel and for
all right.
Everyone.
Then after the message, I'll try to sing It's Real. Go ahead, hon. Bless your heart.
Comfort, and he brought me to the light. He
in dry places. He's bread in a starving land. He's my rock and shelter, and he holds me in his hand. Though all the world forsake me, close by my side he stands. He is everything to me. If it was the
that the first week in March, our National Baptist Midwinter Board meeting will be in Orlando, Florida. Brother Jim Cole, who lives in Cocoa, Florida, he had me there some years ago at Calvary Baptist Church, but he has organized another church there in Cocoa. And the first Sunday in March, he said, "Brother Wesley, you come there for your convention and be with me Saturday and Sunday, and I want Sunday to be count on me day." I like that. I like that. I appreciate that. And I need all the help I can get for count on me. They keep going up on the program. It costs $1,260 a month, $315 a week, $10.50 a minute. You have to pay that every week. You don't tell the man, "I see you." I want to thank the Jubilation and part of the Josanne Singers for helping tonight, and all of you. When y'all stood up there and got the clap in your hand, I looked like I was going into orbit. I thank the Lord for one of the best choirs in the world. And Glen Haven should thank God that God got you singing like you're singing. And then one thing about the choir, they don't put on. I like that. Anytime anybody put on, I don't want to be around them. They don't put on. They get up there and sing. And whether you like it or not, they sing. I like that. Amen. Amen. The secretary sent word today on a little note saying, "Come out of office and let me know what you're going to preach about tonight." Said, "I want to know your text." I said, "All right." And so I'm going to read the text. And it's Mark, the 5th chapter, and the 41st verse. "And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise." She said, "I can't get all that on that tape." I said, "Put Talitha kumi on it." Our Father in heaven, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank you, God, for this word and this verse. We thank you for this chapter.
And we thank you for what this message has meant to us down through the years. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you for Brother Randy and Brother Raff and Brother Roy and Brother Jimmy and all the others who makes up the staff. The young men and the older men working the yard and parking cars. And all the missionaries and all the members of this church and all those who came from all over the United States and foreign fields to help this Jubilee to be what you want it to be. And we just want to say thank you. And thank you for the little part that you and Brother Randy and Brother Ralph let us have on this program each year. I don't feel worthy, but I just want to say thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now I'd like for everybody to say Talitha Kumi. Say it now. All right. Now say it again. All right. It's Talitha Kumi. Talitha Kumi. And then you say Talitha Kumi. Now, this word came out of a situation where a 12-year-old girl took sick. And she got sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker, and she died. This was a 12-year-old girl. This was a full-grown 12-year-old girl. And when you become a full-grown 12-year-old boy, 12-year-old girl, you're on the edge of being a teenager. And when you get on the edge of being a teenager, you're going into manhood and womanhood. You can't get around that. So this girl was a full-grown 12-year-old girl who was a junior. 6, 7, and 8 primary, 9, 10, 11, and 12 in the junior bracket, 13, 14, 15, and 16 you're in the intermediate bracket. Then from 17 to 24 you're in the youth department. Then you get up around 25 and 30 you are adult. Then you get on around 40, 45, and 50. Then you're an adult. Then when you get to be about 60 and around 67 like I am, you're a senior citizen. Then when you get around 70 and 80 and 85 and 90, 95, 100, you're old senior citizen. I like that. But here's a damsel. Here's a 12-year-old girl. 12-year-old girl. Beautiful. Nice. Respectable. Honorable. Loved the mother. Loved the daddy. Loved the friends. Loved all of her kinfolk. She was very respectable. Mom and daddy didn't have any trouble out of her. But she took sick. And she got sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. I want you to see a little girl, 12 years old, who lived such a nice, sweet life that she demanded respect from old folk and young folk. And if you live right, you can demand respect from anybody if you live right. Didn't Jesus say it, and a child shall lead them? Yeah, he said it. And the child shall lead him. I got to bounce back. This thing here, I got to bounce back. You want to cut this off right here? Or let it stay there? Okay. All right. Now, one thing about this damsel, she was a good girl and a sweet girl and a kind girl and a magnificent girl. Her mom and daddy didn't know she was going to get sick, but she got sick. She was respected by her parents, honored by her teachers, recognized by her classmates and her schoolmates.
She was cherished in her community. She was an asset to other boys and girls because she was a good girl. And I like that. Jairus was her daddy. And he was a leader there in the community. And he and Jesus were talking, and Jesus and Jairus were talking. Jairus said, I have a sick girl at the house, and she's 12 years old, but she's a cute little thing. And I'd like for you to go home with me and see if you can do something for her. And Jesus said, yeah, I'll go home. I'll go home with you. That's my job. My job to go home with you. Yeah, Jesus, he doesn't turn anybody down. But he'll go home with you. I like that. I like that. And so while Jesus and Jairus were conversing with each other, here come a servant running from the house saying, oh, Mr. Jairus, your daughter is dead, dead, dead. All right. Some things you hear and you can believe them, and then some things you don't accept. Now this man came running. No need to bother Jesus any longer. That 12-year-old girl is dead. The reason I'm bringing this message on Talitha Kumi, I preached it at Wren Memorial with Brother John Everhart and Brother Ralph and Brother Roy. Brother Roy started writing a song on it and said, when you come to Glen Haven, I want you to preach on Talitha Kumi. So that's the reason I didn't send the subject in. I thought he had it. All right. As I stated, this man came up and brought sad news to the daddy. Well, quite natural, if you've got death in your family, it kind of shake you up a little. But you don't want nobody telling you, after they bring a message to you, saying, now, no need to bring Jesus to the house. You better get the undertaker. Find out what undertaker going to handle the body. And check up on some flower bearers and pall bearers. Now, like I said, there's some things you accept and some things you don't accept. That daddy wasn't going to accept what the man said about pallbearers or flower bearers because his mind wasn't running in that category. His mind was on having his daughter back on his knees and holding her. Man talking about undertaker and flower bearers, pallbearers, and go and get the coroner so he can pronounce her dead. That was kind of messy. That was kind of messy situation. You know what the old man did? He looked at Jesus and said, well, I heard all this mess, but will you still go home with me? And Jesus said, yeah, I'll go home with you. I like that. So Jesus and Peter and James and John went to the man's house. And if you read that chapter, it said that was a great tumult. In other words, unnecessary carrying on. That's it. You know what these folk were doing? There were a whole group of folk in the backyard, front yard, side of the house, and out there in the street, just jumping up and down, hooping out, oh, such a beautiful girl. She's dead. She's dead. Ooh, boo, hoo, hoo, hoo. And Jesus came and saw all that mess going on, and he said, shut your mouth. All of you be quiet. And they looked at Jesus and said, who is this man coming here telling us to be quiet and that girl in there dead? Jesus said, I got to go and wake up. And they looked at him, and you know what they did? They stopped hooping and hollering and started criticizing. Yeah, they started criticizing Jesus and calling him all kinds of things. Jesus said, no, one thing about it, you can't do wonderful works with a whole lot of unbelievers. So Jesus said, every one of you devils, get out of here. He put them all out. He did do it, got rid of every one of them. Then he looked at his buddies and said, come on, John. Come on, Peter. Come on, James. Look at the mom and said, come on, mama. Come on, daddy. Well, Jesus, Peter, James, and John. That's four, isn't it? Right? The mama made five. The daddy made six. And the dead girl made seven. So seven in Hebrew means complete. And Jesus said, I'm going in there to do a complete job. Woo-hoo! Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. He doesn't have to do any work, but he does a complete job. If you're sick, he can heal you. If you're dead, he can bring you back to life. If you're down, he can raise you up. Amen. If you're out, he can pull you in. Yes, sir. Amen. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and the mom and dad, and put all the other unbelieving devils out. Went in the bedroom where that beautiful girl was stretched out, eyes closed in death, tongue stilled in death, ears plugged up in death, toes straight up, arm folded, nose not breathing, heart not pumping blood, mind not functioning. But Jesus went and stood by the bed and looked at the little girl that was 12 years old and said, Talitha kumi! Talitha kumi. Talitha kumi in the Greek means damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Doesn't it? Greek scholar? Talitha kumi! When Jesus said, Talitha kumi! Her eyes came open. When Jesus said, Talitha kumi, her ears were unplugged. When Jesus said, Talitha kumi, she started wiggling her toes. When Jesus said, Talitha kumi, she moved her fingers and opened up her hands. When Jesus said, Talitha kumi, the heart started pumping blood in the body. Woo-hoo! When Jesus said, Talitha kumi, her mind began to function. When Jesus said, Talitha kumi, she woke up. Then she sat up. Then she got up. Then she stood up. Then she ate up. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I like that. It's in the book. It's in the book. That girl was sick and got sick and sick and sick and sicker and then died. And while she was dead, she was hungry, 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 hungry. And when Jesus got her up, he said, give her something to eat, didn't he say? So she ate up. The whole lot of ups. I like that. Now look at that 12-year-old girl. When she got up and found out what had happened to her, a spirit of gratitude began to develop on the inside. Now I think that's wonderful. When the Lord does something for you, then you start blowing up on the inside full of gratitude. Yes, she got bigger and bigger with a whole lot of gratitude. She went and looked at Jesus and said, thank you for coming to my house and saying, Talitha kumi. She looked at Peter, James, and John and said, thank you three preachers for following Jesus. I like that. She looked at her mama and said, mama, thank you for standing by my dead bed. While Jesus was up the road, while my daddy was up the road talking to Jesus, then she said, daddy, I thank you for bringing Jesus to the house and doing something for me that nobody could do. Spirit of gratitude. Then she did something extraordinary. She looked up that howling crowd called the tumult. She looked up that crowd and said, thank God for howling while I was dead. That was something else, wasn't it? Talitha kumi. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. She got up. She went back to school. You have a 12-year-old girl that had one of the greatest testimonies of any 12-year-old girl that ever lived. And she used her testimony. She didn't waste it. She went back to school. School teacher said, "Child, we miss you. Where you been?" "Oh, dead." "You what?" "I'm dead." "You mean to tell me you were dead and you're back in this classroom?" "Yes, ma'am." That gave her a chance to open up and testify to the teacher. She got the teacher straightened out. Then she went and sat down by her next seat buddy. "Where you been, child? I miss you. I'm dead." Witness her next seat buddy. Then in the whole classroom, she stood up and told her, all her classmates, "I was dead, but Jesus came to my room. When Jesus came to my room, he said, 'Tabitha Kumi, damn, look at me. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore.'" Ho, ho, ho. See if you got a testimony somebody want to hear. The principal found out what happened. And he decided that he would have auditorium service. I like that. He said to the faculty, said to all the teachers and the janitor and everybody, "We're going to the chapel today. That's Mark 5:41. <Woo-hoo>! There's a whole lot of stuff in that verse. That verse is just loaded. The only thing you have to do is just pick it out. Pick it out! He had Talitha Kumi Day. And guess who was the order of the day? The order of the day was a 12-year-old girl. And the principal stood up before the faculty and before the body and everything and said, I'd like to say to the faculty today, to all the classmates and all the schoolmates, to all here present, I have something extraordinary that has never happened in the school before. And he said, I'm glad to be the recipient of having this honor of introducing a damsel who's known as the Talitha Kumi girl. He said, now, I never had this experience before, said, but I'm feeling good on the inside to know about a girl that had been dead, but she can tell you more about that than I can. So I'm not going to take up too much time, and I'm going to let her come forward, and I present to some of you and introduce to some of you this 12-year-old girl from such and such a class. Her parents named such and such a name, and her teacher is such and such a teacher. I present her to you. And she got up there before everybody and said, I want to tell y'all, I'm the Talitha Kumi girl. You know how a 12-year-old girl or a 12-year-old boy would do? When they got something to tell, they stick their chest out and they can tell it. And I don't blame that girl. She said, I am the Talitha Kumi girl. And she said to all of them, so y'all want to know what happened to me? I was dead. Dead. Yeah, I was dead, but the Lord came to my room and got me up. And the only thing you said in my room was tell us to come here. Yes. And I want a witness for it. Yes. Amen. Amen. The whole faculty, hearts and minds were changed. The school system was upset. And everybody thought about the Talitha Kumi girl, and it spread it throughout the whole school system about the Talitha Kumi girl. Just dig in Mark 5:41. You get a whole lot of good stuff out of that verse. Talitha Kumi. When that girl got through, then she went downtown and witnessed the folk downtown. Just about the last thing I'd like to say about the Talitha Kumi girl. When she went downtown, she got on a certain corner. Now, here was her corner. And she got to witnessing on her corner. And there was a little group on her corner. And she started telling them what Jesus did in her bedroom. How Jesus brought Peter, James, and John, his three right-hand preachers. His three main buddies that he could depend upon. The others were good, but these were more reliable than all the others put together. I like that. Yeah, I like that. And she stood on this corner and told that crowd what was going on. Now, here's a corner, and here's a corner, and here's a corner. And when the folk on this corner saw what was going on in this corner, they left that corner. She emptied that corner, and it came this corner. And this corner was empty, and came this corner. That corner was empty, and came this corner. She had everybody in her corner. Amen. You know what happened? She was holding her corner down. If you hold your corner down, somebody will come to see about you. Read your saying so good, you're holding your corner down. Yeah! If you hold your corner down, somebody will come to see about you. Yeah! Hold your corner down. You hold your corner down, everything will be all right. Read this at the home of the Jubilee because you're holding your corner down. And other Jubilees are coming from this corner to this corner to see what's going on this corner. They're leaving that corner to come this corner to see what's going on this corner. They're leaving that corner to come this corner to see what's going on this corner. If you live right on your corner, then those that's kind of careless about their corners, they'll go back and do a good job on their corner. Yeah! If you live right on your corner, soul will be saved. If you live right on your corner, soul will sing right. If you live right on your corner, you can be a good missionary. If you live right on your corner, you can tell men they must be born again. If you hold your corner down, the Lord will bless you. Yeah, if you hold your corner down, he'll come to see about you. Well, I've been holding my corner down for over 40 years. I'm not tired. I'm going to hold my corner down. Well, if you hold your corner down, the Holy Ghost will take over. Well, if you hold your corner down, you'll be able to sing the right song. Well, if you hold your corner down, you can be a soul winner. If you hold your corner down, somebody will say, I want to be saved. Well, if you hold your corner down, you can tell men, come on the Lord's side. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, hold your corner down. That's all you got to do. Hold your corner down. We're gonna sing that number now. What is real? It's real. That song we want is real. All right. Bless your heart. Thank God I'm holding my corner down. I love y'all.
Before he sings this song, I'd like everybody just kind of stay where you are if you can, if you will, please. I haven't said
anything to you much. I don't think I said anything about money. But I want you to do me a favor. I've tried to be a blessing to all of y'all this week. I really have.
That's right.
I've done my best. I've been doing for others all the week. And I want you to do something for me. I want you to reach in your pocket. And everybody in here that's got a $20 bill, I want you to give it to Wesley. I want you to trust God. If it's your last one you got, give it. If you need money or something to get home with, come see me. I have to get home. You got a $10 bill? I want it. Let's give it to Wesley. Now this man, $1,200 a month just to stay on TV. He's been on for many years, and he's a blessing to lots of people.
Yeah.
Now, he has blessed us tonight. I know about people. And folks, y'all have been blessed.
Yeah.
You've been blessed since this man stood up right here. And you go sometime to places that cost you $10 and $15, and you ain't had near as much fun as you've had since that. That's right. Let's reach in and get to 20. I double dog dare you. I dare you to trust God tonight to turn that 20 loose. And if you got one in there and don't give it, I hope it burns your pocket. Come on, ushers. I had a man run into my house one time. I had a deacon run into my house one time. I just got through picking up my payments, and I had a little old cigar box in there that I kept my stuff in, and I had my checkbook and my coupon books, and I went right through them, and I wound up, and my money was out, and I had one coupon left. And it was a $50 coupon, and something said to me, put it in your pocket. That's weird. I've never done that in my life. Something said, put it in your pocket. And it was so strong, I put it in my pocket. The next day, about 1 o'clock, I got out at 6 o'clock that morning and had been gone all day and ran by for lunch. I know somebody would think I just got up. But 1 o'clock, this deacon ran, and he ran into my house, and I thought he had had an accident. His family was dead. Something had happened, his face was red. He come in wringing his hands and grabbing for his back pocket. And out of his back pocket, he came out with a $50 bill. And he says, God told me this morning when I got up to come and bring you this money. And he said, all morning long, he said, it's been like a hot rock in my pocket. He said, it's about to burn me to death. He said, I don't know what it is. I don't understand it. Just please, take it. Get it off my hands. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, and I reached in my pocket and come out with that coupon, and we just shouted all over that front room. Folks, I hope that 20 burns in your pocket if you don't give it to Wesley. I want us to trust Wesley. I want to trust God for Wesley tonight. Would you do this for me? I'd like to have everybody who give him a $20 bill or 10. But if you don't have that, give him what you have. Would you do that for me? Because I tell you how I feel. I feel like that this Jubilee won't be... let me change it. I feel like that if we give Wesley a good offering, as far as I'm concerned, my Jubilee is complete, and I feel so happy